I thought I'd start off with a little story, as I kind of always do and stuff. Little man and woman, they're sitting in the room together, and the wife says, "Yeah, I think you better go ahead and call the kids." So the little man gets on the phone, picks up, he's here in California, calls his son all the way out in New York City, and says, "I just wanted to let you know, tomorrow, after 45 years, me and your mother are going to get divorced." The son says, "What? What? 45 years? What are you doing?" And the little man says, "I just can't stand to look at her no more. Can't stand to be around her. She can't stand to be around me." He says, "I don't even want to talk about it anymore." He says, "You call your sister and let her know. But tomorrow we'll get divorced." So the man hangs up the phone. The son gets up, calls his sister right away. And he says, "You're not going to believe this. Mom and Dad are getting divorced." She goes, "That's crazy." She says, "You don't worry about it. I'm calling them right now and getting them fixed." So she calls up the dad and she says, "What do you think you're doing?" And he says, "Well, I already told your brother we're getting divorced." And he says, the daughter says, "You know what? You just stop everything you're doing. Don't do nothing else. We're getting on a plane, and me and my brother will be there tomorrow, and we'll sort this out." The man hangs up the phone and looks over at his wife, and he says, "Well, they're going to be here for Thanksgiving. What do we tell them for Christmas?" Thanksgiving. Why do we have to have a day to remind us to be thankful? Aren't we supposed to be thankful every day? It's amazing we have all these holidays and things that remind us, you know, to appreciate our fathers, to appreciate our mothers, to appreciate our veterans who served in the armed forces for us. All these things that we should be thankful for on a daily basis, we have to set a special day for us. Because as humans, we have kind of that nature, that sinful nature, where we want to complain and gripe and grumble. Wouldn't it be a lot better if we had every day, 364 days out of the year, that we were just thankful and nobody had to tell us anything, and we took that one day to be grumbling and complaining day? So we all got together and we had our meal and we grumbled and complained about how bad everything was. So tonight, the letters to the Thessalonians from Paul to the community of believers shortly after they accepted Christ, in these letters, Paul expresses his excitement about the new faith, but also provides some concrete instructions for them about why, what should I do next after I decide to follow Christ. Tonight, I would like us to highlight and focus on the verses 16 through 18 in chapter 5 only. Let us read from the Word of God. "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." So according to this verse, we could confidently walk up to someone and say, "I know what God wants from you. I know what God wants you to do." Amen? Can we go up to them and say, "Here's what it is"? It's basically pretty simple. It's just three little things there. Give thanks in all circumstances, pray continually, and be always joyful. Notice the three adverbs used: always, continually, and in all circumstances. All of them encompass constant, continually, never ending. Paul said that in Christ Jesus, should be giving thanks at all times, not only in good times, but in bad times as well. That's what it means in all circumstances. But first, let's look at what being thankful is. Is it the same as gratitude? No. When Jesus healed the 10 men of leprosy in Luke 17, no doubt that all 10 were grateful for what he had done. You would be insane to not be grateful to be cured of this disease. Yet only one actually came back to Jesus to thank him. The issue in the story is not one of gratitude, but of thankfulness. It is one thing to feel grateful. It is another thing to express it. Gratitude is one of the most difficult emotions to express as human beings. Perhaps our culture is partly to blame for this. We want instant gratification right now. We want the lights to come on when we turn the lights on, and they typically do. If they don't we whine and complain? We want people to answer our phone calls when we call to pull in a complaint. If they don't, we just get madder. We want things right away. We go out and we shop, and what do? Ooh, I'm the worst. I pull out that credit card. Let's get this today, honey. We want it right away. Not too many years ago, that wasn't the thing. Credit cards weren't out there for us to utilize and use. People had to work. They had to save up. They had to wait. They had to anticipate this greatness in those things. And I think in some ways, that causes us to appreciate those things, to be more thankful that we did those things, to think about what it is that we're getting. We need to do the same thing in our Christian life. We need to work up to it. We need to look forward to it. We need to get gratefulness in our hearts. We need to thank God on a daily basis of what he's doing. Not be going, you didn't answer my prayer. I didn't get what I want right now. What's going on up there? Did you disconnect my line? No. You continue to pray. You push on. You get thankful. You find the things that are good in your life today and you praise him for it. You don't stop. You continue on day by day thanking him, praying to him. Why should I thank God? I made that money. I bought it on my own. I was sick. The doctor's really the one who healed me. I should thank him. I'll give him a little extra tip for all that. I've been asking for something from you, God, and I just didn't get it. And if we think back and remember the one important thing is that God is not here for us. We're here for God. We were created to praise and give thanks to God. God is not our Santa Claus. God is not Daddy who's giving out the things. He does bless us. He does give us things and stuff. But that's not the way it works. And when we get that mindset of that God needs to be giving me something, that's when he cuts us off. Because what do we need to do? We need to learn our lesson. We need to get our hearts right with the Spirit and God. In the context of the verses we're studying, we are reminded to give thanks to God himself, not just other people, especially in all circumstances, even in bad circumstances. When other people have caused pain to us, we still need to give thanks. Is it realistic to give thanks in all circumstances? Notice that God didn't command us to give thanks for all circumstances, but in all circumstances. In fact, the very nice, sweet historical story that we're taught in school of the first Thanksgiving will relate back to that, because it's nice and sweet and it fits into the sermon tonight. But it did really happen. The pilgrims came. The Indians were already here. The pilgrims didn't have anything. They hadn't planted their crops. They didn't have seeds to plant and this and stuff. And the Indians came and they showed them. They showed them the berries that they could get off the land. They showed them how to plant the corn and to do this and all the things. And then that first year, half of the pilgrims who came passed away from hunger, starvation, the cold, as they were trying to learn how to live off this land. But they did come together and they came together with the Indians and they were thankful. They gave praise to God for bringing them here, for letting them have the religious freedoms. They were able to find things in a struggling circumstance to give thanks, which is exactly the same thing that we're supposed to do. When we're in a struggling circumstance, we're not supposed to just pray and get me out of this trouble, God. Get me out, get me out. We're supposed to give him thanks and praise for what he's doing to us. Sometimes when we struggle and we go through a trial and a tribulation, it makes us stronger. It makes our connection to God stronger. We need to remember that he's not sending us through something just to torture us or to punish us because we've done something bad. He's putting us through something so that we have a better connection to him through the Spirit. The point is that we don't thank God because of the sickness we got, But we can thank God during the sickness. Thank Him for the doctors. We can thank Him for a closer connection. Several people turned to God on their deathbed. We don't thank God because we got laid off of work. We thank Him because we're still healthy, that we can look for another job. We thank Him that we have opportunities to go through another door, to something better, to something more beneficial. Maybe something that I can do that would help His work. We don't thank God because of bad grades we received. We thank Him that He always provides us another opportunity to get something, another opportunity to get better, another opportunity to do better in our life. It is possible for us to give thanks in every worst circumstance, even in death. We can give thanks because we are promised and know that we have an eternal life. When this body conks out on me, thank God I'm going to get a new body. I know it's going to be thinner, and I won't have troubles and pains and heartaches and things that I have to go through day by day. So it's a time to be joyful in those things because we have a promise, and I believe in that promise. And if you believe in that promise, you should look forward to that time when you're going to have a better connection with God than you do now. The question isn't should you give thanks in these circumstances, but are you willing to? If you're not willing, let me convince you with a few case and effects which come from giving thanks to God in all circumstances. The first cause reason for giving thanks to God in all circumstances is that our hope is eternal, beyond any earthly circumstance to be affected by them. Matthew Henry, the famous commentator, was once mugged by robbers, and they took his wallet. He wrote these words in his diary: "Let me be thankful first, because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my wallet, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took my money, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed, not me who was robbing." Even the most terrible prospect of sickness and death might not deter a believer from giving thanks to God after God had already granted us eternal life with Him and Jesus. It's not surprising for Paul and the followers of Jesus to have joy and thankfulness. Even though their lives were in danger daily, Paul said, "To live is Christ and to die is gain." Philippians 1 and 21. "Because if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord." Romans 14 and 8. An ancient Christian named Cyprian suffered martyrdom in 258. When the sentence of death was read to him, he said, "I heartily thank Almighty God, who is pleased to set me free from the chains of my body." When you believe in Christ and someone's going to put you to death, it would be pretty hard to be thankful. You might even want to complain or blame someone, blame God. "Gosh, I was doing your work. Why'd you have this happen to me?" But you got to look past this earth and on to what we have for us eternally. We can give thanks to God in all circumstances because our hope is eternal, beyond earthly circumstances to be affected by them. The second cause reason for giving thanks to God in all circumstances is that God work out all circumstances for the best of us. Romans 8 and 28 said, "And we know that all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." Here's the promise for us: that in all things, both the good and the bad circumstances, God will be able to work it for the good of those who love Him. We don't know it all, so in the midst of circumstances, we don't know how to work it out. But God knows it all. He loves us. He will be able to direct the circumstances, which might seem bad for us at the time, to be good for us later. Dr. and author John White told of a time He was a missionary in the jungle of South America. His three-year-old kid had stepped on a rusty nail, and since the nearest hospital was miles away, John and his wife had to pin his child down and perform surgery on his foot, removing the nail, as well as performing disinfecting procedures without any painkillers. The child was horrified, crying and screaming to escape the monstrous parents. But little did he know that the painful procedure he endured was ultimately for his own good. Even as earthly parents here, they strive to do anything for their children, to protect them, to do those things for them that need to be done, even when it's painful, even when you know at the time and the point it's going to hurt the child, you know it's for the betterment of the child, you're going to do it, right? Why would our Heavenly Father not do the same for us? Even though he knows it might be painful and hurtful for us at this point in time, he knows later on it's going to make us a better Christian, a stronger Christian, a better connection. He knows what we need. You have to believe that God knows what he's doing. The third cause and reason for giving thanks to God in all circumstances is that God is with us in all circumstances we are in. Before leaving this earth, Jesus said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Holy Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." John 14:16-18. When we become Christians, accepting Jesus into our heart, what happens is the Spirit of God will reside with us. He's there to counsel us, to comfort us, to guide us through every circumstance we face in life. Life is hard. Life isn't meant to be easy. Everyone's going through life can testify about it pretty much the same way, both Christians and non-Christians. But God is good. He will be there for us. He will walk through the valley of the shadow of death with us. Therefore, we can give thanks to God in all circumstances because he is with us in the circumstances we are in. I heard a good analogy the other day. This preacher was talking, and he was saying when he was a child, they came up to the house, and they were getting ready to go in the house, and the door was open, and they could hear people talking inside the front. And he was walking in front of his dad, and the dad stepped in front of him and pushed him back and walked through the door first. God is doing the same thing with us. He's not walking beside us. He's not carrying us. He's allowing us to walk on through. But he's already walked through it. He knows what's ahead of us. He knows what's going to happen. I question you, are you trusting that God knows what he's doing? Because if you're not trusting him, then you have no ability to give him thanks for what he's putting you through. You have to have trust and faith. There are more serious causes to us to thank God in all circumstances, but I'd like to introduce a few paralleling effects and benefits in a practical life as we thank God. The first effect is that a thankful heart will produce graceful words. Jesus said this, "Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks." Matthew 12:34. Someone else said, "Whining is only made by sour grapes." It reminds me of a story of these two men, and they meet up and stuff, and the one's just crying his eyes out and just bawling and everything. And he says, "What's happened?" He says, "My cousin passed away." He says, "That's sad to hear." And he says, "That's not the bad part." He says, "He left me $100,000. And the man says, "$100,000? Why are you crying?" "Well, he had over $1 million in asset, and I only got $100,000 out of it." Have you ever met those people in your life? No matter what it is, everything could be great and wonderful. They could have got the $100,000, but they got something else to complain about. Or I love this one. Love, love, love this one. And I can see it sometimes when I used to ride public transportation, like little old people sitting together. Who has the worst pains? Whose doctor has the worst diagnosis for them? and it'll kind of go on and on and on and on that I have this and I have that. The Bible said that do everything without complaining or arguing, Philippians 2 and 14. But how are we going to keep our negative attitude under control? One way is to be developing an attitude of gratitude. A person cannot be gracious and hateful at the same time. A person whose heart is filled with thanksgiving will have no room for such negativity, anger, bitterness, or grumbling. The second effect is that thanksgiving will change our attitude. Circumstances around us may not change at all, but with thanksgiving in our heart, you can change one of the most important things about you, your attitude. A good attitude will carry you a long, long way than a bad attitude. A good attitude picks us up when we're down. A good attitude gives us that faith and that trust that we need that we can continue on. We can go forward. And if you're not thanking God, then what happens in? That negativity comes in, starts to engulf us, starts to surround us. We can't break free from those chains of negativity. They're hard. And it's kind of one of those things. When you let it first come in and it takes hold of you, the longer you let it continue, the stronger the chains get, the more binding down it gets to be of you. So if you're allowing that to happen in your life, today is the day to break the chains and give God the thanks that he deserves. The third effect is that our Thanksgiving outlook often determines your outcome. There are two birds flying over the California desert, the vulture and the hummingbird. The vulture looks for dead, rotting, decaying meat. The vulture thrives on the misery of other animals. The hummingbird looks for tiny blossoms of cactus flower. The hummingbird thrives on what is living and growing. Each bird finds what they're looking for. What are you looking for? A better question is, what are you finding? Because if what you're finding is death and misery and not life and joy and peace, then you're not looking right. I'm convinced that as I develop an attitude of gratitude, I will discover more of which I can be thankful. And tonight, it also said to be joyful. What is joy? Joy is something that fills you, that envelops you. Joy is something that can be given to you through God. Joy is that happiness, that determined, that faith, that knowing. And when you give out those praises of thanksgiving and get rid of that negativity, because anger, hurt, and destruction, those are negative things. Joy, peace, and love, those are the positive things. Keep the positive in your life. Keep the negative out. Because negative does nothing but bring you down and make you wallow and have self-pity and have a pity party. And I can't lie. Sometimes I love having a pity party for myself. They are wonderful. I can have one and not have anybody come. It just makes the pity that much better. Pity party for one, right over here. Finally, how can we give thanks in all circumstances? We have to grow. And when I say grow, the G stands for give yourself to others. Sometimes when you're feeling down, you're feeling struggling with things and stuff, the best way to get out of it is to give to someone. I remember a Sunday when we went over to the Santa Ana Church to feed the homeless and stuff. I didn't want to go for nothing that morning. I don't know what was wrong with me. I was achy, painy. I didn't feel good. I had a pity party all the way there until an Andy I know, because he just said, we're going to do it. I was like, all right, come on, just shut up. And I know I complained from the time we left the house until we got to the Santa Ana Church and stuff. And I was even, as I was helping lift the tables and get the chairs out and stuff, I go, I'm a sick person. I shouldn't be doing all this and everything. And Andy just has learned to ignore me. God bless his soul that he's that way. But at the end of the day, when it was all over, and I'd met some really great and wonderful people with them, and I sat and I ate with them. And that's the first time I met Dorothy and Carmen, who have been a great blessing in my life. I mean, they've taught me great things about connections with God and prayer and all of those things and stuff. I was their cheese girl for the burgers. So we had a great time, and trust me, all those pains and those aches and those hearts and that bad feeling that I had went away. By the time we got in the car, I turned it off and I was singing, and Andy was saying, we can put on the religious station and listen to the music on the thing. And I said, no, I got it covered, don't worry. I'll just continue singing my heart out all the way home. R is to reflect on God's goodness. You know, when you go to buy a present for someone, it's always better that you kind of get a little bit of reflection. It's better when you know someone. When you don't know someone, it's really hard to go in the store to buy someone something or anything. I had at a point in time where I collected Betty Boop things. I had to stop because every time I had a party or a birthday and stuff, I got Betty Boop and stuff, and we ended up with a whole room of Betty Boop things. But it's easier when you reflect back and you look at things and you understand and you know. O, overcome discouragement through praise. You can overcome anything as long as you give praise. If you're praising God, it's kind of hard to fall back on what's coming towards you, because you've already looked. You put that positive in there. And there's tons and tons of study that says positive thinking makes positive results. So if I'm believing and trusting in God that He's going to put me in the right place at the right time, in the right mood, in the right attitude, that's what's going to happen. If the whole time I'm thinking negative things, I don't think God's with me, I don't know where I'm going, I don't know what's happening in my life, I don't know these things, that's what's going to happen. Those things happen. So you decide. You make choices in your life. That's the wonderful thing He made for us. He gave us an ability to choose things in our life. He knows what we're going to do. He knows what's going to happen to us. But we don't. We don't have a crystal ball. All we can do is decide, am I going to have positivity in my life? Or am I going to have negativity in my life? That's your choice. And the last is to walk in the light of God's sovereignty. God is sovereign. God is in control. God knows how things must work out for good. That means all I have comes from Him. And as such, I should be thankful. The bigger God becomes in your life, the easier for you to give thanks to Him. So enlarge your vision of God. Keep looking up until you see Him, and then He will be even bigger in your life than today. Thank you.